Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
All right, Worship Harvest, season 21. Can I tell you something? In the Bible, the big, they call them the elders of faith, the patriarchs of our faith, Christianity, when they met God, when they had encounters, they did many things, but one of the most significant things is they created altars. Now, the altars were to sacrifice to God. That's why they say, hey, there's a stone here. It's on a stair, the stairway to heaven comes. The person puts their head there like, ah, surely this is the creator altar there. Season 21 is an altar. Because, as we'll find out very soon, it's one of the environments that cause people to see God in mighty ways. So, because we're at the altar of season 21, I just want to take a minute and pray with you guys as we welcome or as we acknowledge the one we're here to honor. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your blessing. We thank you so much that you desire to have us. We thank you so much that you desire to be with us. Lord, we thank you for your name. We thank you for the glory that you give to us. Just as your bride, your word tells us that the glory of a man is the woman, and we, the church, are your bride. So we thank you, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for your favor, your grace. And even as we come to seek you this year of going and glorying, may you reveal yourself to us today. May everyone that is weary, everyone that needs a newness of life, of purpose, everyone that's looking for an answer, may you answer today. May you speak and may we hear you. For the glory of your name, amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Vera, if you could please kindly press play. Lights. don't know by now, that is me in the pink shirt. Bishop Oyedepo says that there are secrets of men. The secrets of men. Who does they want to know what I'm talking about? The secrets of men are in their stories. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read together. And though I have the gift of prophecy, together, guys. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it promises me nothing. Obviously, I'm not talking about love for Pastor Samali in this case. But this portion of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, comes at a place where they're talking about the greatest gift. And they're trying to say or set a precedent to show that the greatest gift is love. However, I would like to show you something. Can I show you something? The people this side, they don't want to know the thing. Should I tell the people these things? Please go back to verse 3. So, as we go here, I want us to read word by word. As we've been taught at worship by Apostle, you must have a scientific mind when you're reading the word of God. All right. So they're talking about gifts, correct? So, and though I bestow, verse 2, this is number 3. And though I have the gift of, so the first gift is prophecy, right? So the first gift in this portion of scripture is
prophecy.
And understanding all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, that means the second gift is
faith.
So that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Please go to the next verse. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, this is another thing he's trying to introduce in the scripture, right? So let's call this resources, money, sente, right? So the third gift is? The third gift is? The people inside. Resources. So, are we still on verse 3? Yes. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, resources. And though I give my body to be burned, the third gift is sacrifice. The fourth gift is sacrifice. But have not love, it profits me. So let me tell you a little bit about these four gifts. The first being prophecy. The second being faith. The third being resources, and the fourth being sacrifice. Paul is trying to introduce a topic about the greatest gift, which is love. And obviously the gift here to operate is for the benefit of the believers. You know that one time I asked Apostle and asked him, the question was, when you're talking about, you know, when you want to move in the miraculous and you have people that are moving in it easily, how do you reconcile with that? How can you, for example, as a minister, you know, have that gift or start moving in the miraculous? And he told me, but the thing is, it's a gift. So it's being someone, correct? So here Paul is basically talking about four gifts. And because of the order that he has put them in, number one being prophecy, number two being faith, number three being resources. And by the way, resources are a big gift, because if you look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, here Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler basically said, I've done all the commandments, I've done everything, what else can I do? And Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and follow me. That means that resources are a pretty good gift. Resources are a pretty good gift. The people that said, and resources are a pretty good gift. Look, every encounter we see in the Old Testament, people part with resources as soon as they see God. So it's a pretty, pretty good gift. So for those that are giving first fruit, this is where you know that really, that sacrifice of first fruit is a big thing. So continuing in 1 Corinthians, verse 13, he talks about all these things and is obviously introducing love. Then he jumps and changes thought and goes to verse 13. And instructs and says, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So I'm not talking about love today. I want to talk about the third most important gift. We know the verse that the kingdom of heaven is about joy, love, and peace. So a third of the kingdom is joy. We say that from Isaiah 12 verse 3. With joy we draw from the well of salvation, right? So that means here, in the order of ranking of gifts, it means that hope and faith are basically 60% of what it means to have a gift. Are you seeing it? You haven't yet seen it. I mean, look, abide, faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Change the version. Change the version, I show you a mystery. Oh, sorry, Amplified Classic. Sorry. Amplified Classic. Let's go to Amplified Classic. I hope you're still with me, guys. So we're going to do a small equation to try and understand these three gifts. Together. And so faith, hope, love, abide. In brackets, faith, conviction and belief, respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Remember I said we're talking about the gifts, right? And Paul in 12:31 talks about desiring the earnest gifts, right? If you can just quickly show that. 12 verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12:31. but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet, I will show you still a still more excellent way, one that is better by far, and the highest of them all is love. So 1 + 1 + 1 is equal to 3. Correct. So the greatest is 1. But 1 + 1 is equal to 2. Sorry, I did mathematics up to campus. So I majored in mathematics. So please, if you're in the arts section, bear with me. Overflow. Yeah, truly they are in the overflow because just... So, if we're to say out of 100 in terms of value of gift, you would say the ranking is love, maybe faith because it was mentioned first, and hope. Correct. But if you have faith and hope, because just most people think that faith and hope are actually synonymous, they're almost the same thing. Correct. So if you add those two, it actually shows you that the greatest gift combined is faith and hope. The people this side are not getting it. If there were only three, if you had an option of only three oranges and you are stuck on a desert, one person has love and the other person takes two oranges, hope and faith, who do you think would survive in the desert? The one with two oranges, isn't it? I mean, simple mathematics. Assuming one orange would give you 1 year of living. So faith, from here, in the Amplified Classic, is faith, which is the conviction and belief respecting man's relation to God, and hope is the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation, as seen in Amp Classic, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Are we together? Look, today we are receiving light, eh? So have an expectation of light. Yeah, but we're taking a journey. We're taking a what? Yeah, so put on the full lights, buckle up. We're taking a journey. Romans chapter 8, verse 24-25. It says, NKJV, "For we were saved in this hope together. But hope is seen, that is seen, sorry, is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Growing up, one of the best things that would happen to us as kids would be going to Diddy's World. Some people don't relate. Chairman, did you go to Diddy's World? Wrong number. I mean, he was just here, really. It was too close. So, being a dad, there's a thing that happens when you tell a child, tomorrow we're going to Diddy's World, tomorrow we're going to the swimming pool, tomorrow we're going to do whatever it is. Yeah, we're going to play duel, eh? Whatever it is that is quite... you know, that they like to do. So let me use that illustration of the son and the father. Stick with me, guys. Stick with me. Stick with me. Papa bless. So where's the gun? I'm seeing some people nodding already. It's too early. So we can understand these two gifts, hope and faith, this way. When a father tells a son that they're going to the amusement park the next day, the child believes and goes that he's going to the amusement park, and just, you know how they can even fail to sleep the whole night. Right? They sleep in the swimming costume or whatever it is they need to wear. Now, that is faith. That honest, you know, that understanding of knowing that because daddy has said so, because daddy are your good day, it's going to happen. So the happiness, you know, is hectic. And as you can see, what makes that happen is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In this case, the word of the Father. We're still together, right? At the same time, that belief, that excitement, that eagerness, we can call it that irrepressible joy, like you cannot do anything to change this person's mood, is hope. So, we're going to the amusement park. The Father has spoken. It is established. So, the child, their understanding of this thing is really going to happen is what we're calling faith. That excitement, that exuberance. Yeah. And I haven't yet even come for that section. But that exuberance of the child, that joy, happiness, irrepressible, like you can't suppress that joy, is hope. Are we still together? No wonder in Isaiah 12:3 it says that with joy you will draw. And that's why they say that children can actually will receive the kingdom much faster than adults. Because just like Chairman didn't relate with Didi's world, when people get let me leave that tree. Mercy. But you understand the point. So faith is complete trust or confidence that something is going to happen. Hebrews 11:1 talks about it this way. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we go to the equation, you remember the equation of what hope is and what faith is? If we read this same verse, it would read, now faith, remember the conviction and belief respecting man's relation to God, is the substance of things hoped, which is that joyful exuberance, expectation, the evidence of things not seen. I happen to be an author. So at this point, I'll read for you a portion from my book. So the name of the book is Hush, Moments for Greatness. It's a really good book. As with every good story, this is where the flashback happens. Stay with me, guys. It's not a long read, I promise you. Let's jump back to a couple of years after I graduated. In 2012, I was blessed to work as a project resource on an ERP project for one of the top companies in the country, Uganda. So in 2015, after being promoted, I started heading the department. I'm going to paraphrase real quick because it's a book. Usually when you're writing a book, you're trying to make the numbers, eh? Yeah. So after the promotion in 2015, 3 years after working there, it became very busy, obviously. And to understand the amount of work involved, you must understand how big the company was. So it had about 5 regional warehouses across the country at the time and over 200 staff. So the IT ecosystem that I was managing at the time involved managing communications, email, voice over IP, you know, intercom. People just, yeah, voice over IP. The wide area network between the warehouses, internet connection, local area network, just websites, other in-house. You get the picture. So in addition, I was also managing help desk. My computer cannot, the space bar is not working. You know, help desk. It's like it's the most interesting thing. The most frustrating thing of an IT professional. The monitor is not working. Have you switched it on? Who switched it off? And the person has called you. You've walked like 16, you know, flights just to go and help them switch on the monitor. What a shock. So imagine managing that for 5 regional warehouses in totally different areas. So I also happen to be a member of the Spark team, which was basically a think tank for the organization, Cultural Change Champions, they also call them that, and also served on several other committees, just head of IT, procurement, the list is endless. So I was therefore a really busy person. So in 2016, to add to that busyness, I became a dad. And being a dad is a good thing. I don't know why guys are saying, "Whoa!" So this part, I'll read what's in the book because just... So I became a dad outside of wedlock to the amazing Melek Dalitso Ayewale. So amidst an already overwhelming plate in 2018, his mom, Peace, went to be with the Lord after a really short illness. So it was a very tumultuous time. Towards the end of 2018, around November, I remember. So that happened in September, September 11th. So around November, I remember calling my mom and basically saying, "Please have a look at my email. I just sent you a draft of my resignation letter." This was November 2018. So I felt like the world around me was moving too fast and was crumbling right before my very eyes. It felt like no matter how hard I worked, there was always something that would escape through the invisible cracks. Earlier that year, my grandfather had also passed away, a pillar in our family. So looking back, I do not know how I would have managed without the support system I had. This is why Kane Bolango is in your book, HI People. Chief among them was my best friend at the time, now my wife, Samali, my other bestos who helped me go through, Peter Namara, Franklin Mwanguzi, Carol Masagazi, Joseph Suna, Geoffrey Tusime, my family, the Ayebades, were also very pivotal. I saw my brother somewhere there, Melvin, Delphin. Delphin should also be somewhere at the back. The other people that helped me get through that really interesting time was the housemaid at the time. Aunt Evas, as we call her. Because just I had a son. And it was just not life on my own. But another really supportive system was my missional community. At the time, it was led by Alan Tayewa. I was in Club 1000 at Worship Harvest Bugolobi. And then, of course, my spiritual parents, the Okulos, Prophet and Pastor Dr. Emmanuel. The worship team was a really, really, really powerful support system. Some of the people at that time, it was being led by Josh Businge, Pastor Josh Businge, Fortunate Kasumba, Nora Namara, you saw her leading the last song, Charlene Kasumba, Jobin Ebenezer, Dora Egunyu, and many others. So my only remedy in that season was work, 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 work. Not like the song, but it was just work, 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 work. Who knows the song? Who's that? It was like a drug. Apostle Moses Mokisa, Apmo as we call him, has put it that way. When work becomes like a drug. So a typical day would start at 3:30 and usually end at 11 p.m. And this included weekends because we also worked on Saturdays at this workplace. So Sundays were busy because as a worshiper, I always had to do my best to serve on Sunday, irrespective of all this that was going around. So this is where then you get the next subtitle, which is the most important part of this read. It's titled Season 21. This part is important of the sermon. You should be receiving. Look, Luke 5:17 says, can I have Luke 5:17 up, please? That as he taught on a certain day, who's I not bringing? Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out. Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You have to believe it. Because I'm teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 to 3, reads and says that you are a written epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So this part is really important because this is my epistle. Jesus' epistle. It's my gospel. It's my story. Season 21. At the church family I belong to, Worship Harvest, we believe in the principle of fasts. So one of the ways we do this practically is by dedicating the first 21 days of the year to prayer, the word, and fasting. We call it Season 21. So at the New Year's shift, we celebrate New Year's Day, which is a public holiday, just loved ones thereafter. We have what is known as New Dawn Camp, usually held on the first weekend of New Year's Day. The camp lasts for 3 days, starting on Thursday, ending on Saturday. Of course, I'm writing for the book for people who are not in Worship Harvest as well, so this may seem a bit of a drag. You like it very much. So basically, Season 21 lasts 21 days, Monday to Friday. Today is Monday. And on the 21st day, which is usually falls on a Saturday, as is popularly known, is the day of prayer and usually takes place at the church building in Nalia. Now, if you think of praying and fasting every day for 21 days, if you think that that is hard, I'm about to blow your mind. Day of prayer, the 21st day, you fast and pray the whole day. The arrival time starts at 6 a.m. sharp, because worship harvesters are sticklers for time. The program runs till 6 p.m. when everyone breaks their fast. If you're not at Worship Harvest, you may be thinking that this is unnecessary. Stick with me, I assure you, it will all make sense shortly. So on the day of prayer, we usually had 10 speakers. At the top of each hour, we have a worship session. Then a guest speaker speaks, then the host receives the sermon response. At the top of the next hour, the next worship set starts, all the way until the promised 6 p.m. when we have Holy Communion. You remember like the story of we're going to do this world? So you collect a special offering and then you start, everyone starts their respective journey of faith as they start enter the new year in power. So prior to that, this particular year, I'd made two proclamations. One was, I need to marry. I know some people here are praying for marriage because I'm praying for them to get married. So I had a proclamation on marriage, which was equally massive. Let me backtrack. So back in season 21, because of the proclamations I had made to my family, I basically told them, this year I'm going to get married. My dad was asking more questions at Christmas. And my prayer was, basically, I came to season 21 that year, 2019, and said, I must hear God. This season 21. So my prayer was for it to be quiet enough for me to hear the voice of God around two proclamations. The first marriage, the other was a change of career, because just what is life? To understand how big those proclamations were, you must understand that my job at the time, although busy, was actually a really good one. I like to find solutions, so I thrived in a busy and not monotonous challenge the job provided every day. It was a great growth environment for my career, and the terms were quite good as well. The organization is still one of the best employers. So, in addition to getting married, the second was find a new opportunity. Because you know how it is, once you sign the contract, there's no chance. Or usually just the proverbial 5%. Unless something happens. You marry the ED or something. That one was just to help some people laugh because it's getting too serious in the room. It's not in the book. The edition maybe. So although my parents were helping tremendously, I seriously needed to lock that aspect of my life and get married because I wanted my life to take a proper turn. And this was a massive decision because at the time, I hadn't had sufficient savings to pull a decent Ugandan wedding. Now, that year, Allan Taeba got married. And you know Ugandan weddings. And then you have Allan Taeba, just, it's a house of a wedding, right? You build the house in one day and leave it there for the wedding. So getting married in Uganda is a pretty major project. Planning and executing a wedding ceremony takes a lot of time and resources. So given my mental state at that time, you can understand why my prayer was for everything around me to be quiet, for everything around me to be hush. Just like it is now. For everything around me to be calm just for a moment long enough for me to hear the Lord say something. Anything, really, for that matter. So the next section is the hush moment. Standing amidst the congregation that Saturday afternoon in a very loud room filled with music, loud prayers, is where my hush moment would be. A lady mentioned to me that they had something to say to me from the Lord. So I asked, what is it? And then she said, that thing that you want to do, you should do. He has endorsed it. I was like, wow, how did you know? So my first response was, amen, amen, thank you. But then as I continued to pray with everyone else, I felt a sense that this was my moment. This was my season 21 moment. My spirit leapt. Remember that picture of hope? I took out my phone because I'm a diligent note taker, and I wrote down everything she said and asked her to say exactly as it was. Of course, I wrote it the way it was, which was, the thing that you want to do, you should do. He has endorsed it. Now, Worship Harvest. In terms of the movement, teaching at such a place is not such a place. Teaching here at Nalia is probably the biggest platform ever. So when I asked God, what am I going to share? I didn't get 15 steps to anything, to marriage. Maybe the next sermon, if this goes well, because I'm running out of time. But I didn't get 15 steps to make a really good proposal. Or 17 steps to have a fantastic worship team. Because I would say those are some of the things that I could probably write about really well. The word was testify. The word was testify. First closing. So what happened is, after those words, to finish the story, because I need you to buy the book at some point. That's a joke. But what happened was, because of that word, and because of the faith it gave me, the assurance, the foundation, and the hope that I received the word with, the Tuesday the next week, I handed in my resignation. I served for 2 months. The weekend after my last day of work, I was speaking to the police to organize what you just saw. The next week was Easter. The week after that was 1st May. I was on a plane to South Africa, really chasing a whim. Because what happened was, because that year, or the previous year, 2018, we're in the middle of an upgrade, and one of the project managers came up to me and said, "You really know your stuff. How long do you want to work at this place of work?" I write those details in the book, because the book is about listening, hearing. But that's not what we're talking about today. So I walked on that promise, on that word, which I had. Jumped on the plane and went to South Africa. Now, because I didn't have a work permit, you can't get a really long visa. Yeah? So I enrolled for a course that, it was a project management course that I could have done in 2 weeks, because that's how long the course was for. I basically said, this is the start point, and I put 2 months, because it wasn't like a master's or anything. So it was a project management course, Prince to Agile, and I extended and said exams will be 2 months later. So because of that gentleman's word, I basically said, you know what? What does it take? I remember one time I was parking just under this side of the parking. I parked and I was hearing the worship team singing and I was like, should I put in my resignation now? And I remember, call the guy. So I called him, I'm like, yo, Martin is his name, Martin Kurtz. Are you serious about this thing? Like, if I come, will the job be there? And he said, you know what, Calvin, I'll be honest with you. If you were my nephew, I would say, come. Because the way it works here is like every other African country. You go, you work for free, you show what you can do. If people like you, they like you. They give you the opportunity. If they don't, they don't. You try the next person. But what he said is that I am willing to take you to the doors that you need to knock. So it wasn't really the answer that you resign your job on and go and take the leap of faith. Anyway, long story short, I had my word. So I had the two oranges. And already, the third orange was with the person I had proposed to the week earlier. So I had everything. So I enter. So I go to South Africa. Week one, week two, I do the study. It was just 2 weeks. I do the exams. I finish. I pass. And as fate would have it, the first day, like the day I did the final paper, I got a call from Martin and said, I have work for you. So I was excited. I told my mom. My mom told the whole world because at that time we were living together in South Africa. She had gone for us a short consultation. So we're living together and we're like, thank you, Jesus. But the funny thing is, he called me like at 5 p.m. I told my mom at like 5:30. We were happy for all of 2 hours, till about 7:30. And then he called and said, these guys have changed their mind. So you can imagine that happiness and joy was literally for 2 hours. Anyway, because I'm running out of time, I stuck it out. I worked for free. I told them, you know what, it's okay. Let me work for free. Work for two months in winter. It was expensive. You remember, I was trying to get married. I didn't really have that kind of money in my savings. So those were also going, and it's South Africa. South Africa, you don't jump on a border. No. What are you talking about? So, long story short, the 2 months get done, and I come back, and I have nothing. So, you've left a great job, and you're back to living with your parents and your son in the same house. It was pretty serious. So I remember that time Apostle had just started this thing of Facebook. He would meet a few men, you know, come, let's talk, what? Yeah. So Pastor Emmanuel told me about it. I was like, hey, let's go. I mean, what am I doing? So that was like for all of 2 months because I came back 1st July 2019. So we'd be there listening to the word, and you know, Apostle always starts Ephesians 1, right? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I was like, I got this. I'm an ERP consultant because that's what I wanted to do there, right? But really, it was not there at all. But I had the evidence. I just wasn't seeing it. On 1st October, 2 days before my birthday, 2019, a gentleman that I had dinner with, you know, someone says, hey, you're here. I knew his wife, calls me up and says, I heard you looking for work. Do you want to work? I was like, but what are you talking about? So although I'd worked for free for 2 months and hoped for those guys to give me a call, and they hadn't, I eventually found myself getting an opportunity from someone that we spent the whole afternoon talking about music. I showed him videos from Prophet's concert that I played at. I was like, you see, there was two of everything, two drummers, two keyboardists, two guitarists, and I was right there in the middle holding down the low end. Anyway, so we hit it off, and finally I got a job. So that job was 4 times what I was earning previously. It just meant that all my plot that I had planned for from, you know, whenever I decided that this is what I was going to do, was going to happen really, really fast. Or at least faster than would have happened. Because one of the motivations to change that job was I heard about my wife's salary or the girl I wanted to marry, and I was like, you know how you know you have a really good job, and then you meet someone and you're like, like how much? And then you're like, oh, mercy Lord. So I was like, how am I going to marry this babe? Anyway, those were some of the motivations. So the thing is, it was a game changer. It happened at an altar that I came to, season 21, where everyone here is coming to hear from God. Because of the work I do now, I'm able to serve. As you know, I'm usually with Apostle. The whole of last year was massive sacrifices. But because I'm a consultant, I work literally where there's an internet, I can afford to do a worship set and then sit in the background in meetings and fixing people's things, right? So it freed me up to do that. It freed me up to, you know, marry my wife, right? It freed me up to provide stability for my son, Melek. It changed my life drastically. I cannot tell it all. So you're here. You're seeking God and asking Him for something. Anything really. It can be as petty as a new shoe, a jean, like Apostle says. Or it can be really big, right? Like land in the city. Thank you, please. How did you know? Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you today. The only way we know of things God has done is through testimonies. You must testify for you to give that thing that is called hope, that excitement, that exuberance. And when you have a promise, a basis of faith, then you can fly. Then everything can turn around. Everything can turn around. I'm running out of time. Really running out of time. But I want to end it this way. Actually, Apostle, there's a song. I don't know if we have a moment for it. But you'll let me know. But let me end this way in case we don't get the time for it. Your life is an epistle. 2024 is a year of going. 2024 is a year of going. Why are people not happy about going? God is seriously going to require us to write some powerful testimonies that will cause everyone else to go. Because we know we had God, we can fight the good fight of faith, of hope, with joy. Because with joy we draw from those wells of salvation. Remember that joy of the boy with the promise of the amusement park? With hope, which is that joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. So spread some hope. Share your testimony. Share your testimony. Spread expectations all over. Because the atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. You must testify because you are an epistle. You are Christ's epistle. All of earth is waiting for your manifestation. Eagerly, with hope. You cannot be an epistle if you do not know Christ. So that means you must have fellowship with him. The Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ. That means that you have to have the same father to be a joint heir. In the Father, there are so many promises. Promises of jobs, of wives, of houses, of husbands, of marriage. The Father today comes with a proposal. And he asks, will you allow him to write your story? You're here. You're not in a relationship with God. The Father is asking, in the middle of this powerful altar, right in the center of it, just like it was at one de Gea traffic lights, he's proposing, will you allow him write your epistle? Just ask your neighbor if they haven't married, because the Bible tells us that Christ is the groom and we are the bride. So just ask your neighbor and ask them, are you married to Christ? Even as we stand up, are you married to Christ? Anyone here that's not married to Christ that would like to, we're in church after all. There's a main celebrant here. We can be witnesses with you, with all of heaven. You're here and you'd like to have a father that gives you so many promises, just like it is to go to the amusement park. Anyone? Did any of your neighbors say they would like to? Oh, we are all married. All right, let's praise the Lord for that. Let's praise the Lord for that. The other thing I want to ask today is, you're here and you just want to have someone pray with you about the testimony that you're hoping you're going to write this year. If you're there and you're saying, I have received faith while you speak, I now have inside joy. I know that music is not loud, but again, the book is Harsh Moments. I'm sorry, I should have given it a more exuberant title. Maybe it would be up in air. But sometimes you need to have the quiet moment to really, really, really appreciate and understand what's going on. So you've had the testimony and you want someone to pray with you. I'd like you to bow and I pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for this great word that you've given. Thank you, King of Glory, for the testimonies that you're writing, because we are receiving faith. Thank you for the light that you have shed. Thank you, Lord, for all the great things that we're going to do this year, because we have decided to go. I pray, Lord, that even as we are all believing, that through my testimony, everyone here will hear a word from you. The people that are expecting healing, receive your healing. The people that are expecting a call from someone, may that happen. This week, may it happen. Next week, may it happen in September, may it happen in October. May it happen in December. Thank you, Lord, for your word is sure. And thank you, Lord, for your faith. All right, we have someone that wants to receive the Lord. You're welcome. You can stand, please. Let's celebrate, guys. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father,
Yesu nkwebaza olw'obulamu bwange, nkwebaza kubanga wajja n'onfiirira, nzikiriza n'omutima gwange era njatula n'akamwa kange nti ndokose, twala obulamu bwange obukozesa eky'omugaso mu linnya lya Yesu Kristo. Amen.
Amen. Please go with him. We'll just write your name. Tugala kuandikiri nya. Tusabenga nawe. That's why, like I said, my wife, that was a sign from God for sure. So Lord, thank you. I pray that you will glorify us this year with the testimonies that we share. And you'll also glorify your name, because we believe and trust in all that you have for us, even as we come to this altar this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's clap our hands and celebrate Pastor Calvin. Amen. What a blessing. Father, we are grateful for such a privilege to hear the testimony of your servant and what you are doing in his life, Lord. Father, I pray that today a spirit of testimony shall rise in our hearts, that we will be full of thanksgiving in every single moment. Father, your word says that the steps of a good man, a righteous man, are ordered of the Lord. And we know that you are ordering our steps, that even in the midst of difficulty, of trials and tribulations, we can look to you because you are an ever-present help in time of need. Your word says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of every one of them. And Father, we know that you are delivering us out of every affliction, that you are strengthening us in this moment as we wait on you, that you are doing something new in our lives, that 2024 will be a year where we will see the glory of the Lord like we have never seen it before. That as we step out in faith to go and plant those missional communities, that as we step out in faith to plant those huddles, as we step out in faith to plant those churches, Lord, that we will see miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord. Father, your word says that the just shall live by faith. And we declare that we are a people of faith. Can we clap our hands to Jesus? Amen. Oh, yes. Wow. Are you ready to receive the body and the blood of Jesus? All right, let me ask you to sit down as you continue to talk to God in this moment. Amen. This is a holy moment. Amen. I would ask you just to continue to pray in the Spirit. Now is not a time for conversation, but just begin to talk to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. What a privilege, Lord, to receive the body and the blood of Jesus this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the new covenant. Thank you for the new covenant in your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for ours. Thank you for healing that is manifesting right now in the bodies of your children right now. Thank you, because we're going to have testimonies from today. Testimonies of healing. Testimonies of miraculous provision in the name of Jesus. Somebody is receiving a testimony of a good marriage in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you because you are opening up wombs and giving us offspring, and we are receiving it today in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody is receiving faith for opportunities, job opportunities, and all sorts of opportunities. Father, thank you, Lord, because tonight is testimony night. Amen. Oh, yes. Tonight is testimony night, and God is doing incredible things in our midst. Father, we are grateful to you for this time, for gathering us here. Thank you, Jesus, for healing. Healing from abdominal pain. Healing from headaches. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are grateful to you. Thank you, Jesus, because of your body that was broken in place of ours. If you haven't received the body and the blood of Jesus, you can put your hand up and the team will come to you as quickly as possible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are grateful to you, God. Thank you, Jesus, because we are being transformed from glory to glory. Thank you, Jesus, because we are not the same people that we were when we started this fast. Something is breaking. Something is breaking. And something is forming in the name of Jesus. We thank you because you are doing it. Somebody, you're going to the next level. A next level in your prayer life. The next level in your prayer life, in the way you seek God, in the way you seek God. Thank you, Jesus, because you are doing it. We are grateful to you.
Somebody's receiving divine favor at work. Divine favor at work in the name of Jesus. Wisdom. Wisdom to do impossible tasks. Impossible tasks in the marketplace. Boldness. Boldness to do the work. To proclaim and to speak the word. And to preach in the workplace. Father, we thank you because you are doing it. Hallelujah. I'd like to ask you right now just to begin to pray. If you have received the body, just give thanks to God for it, and then you can receive it by faith right now. Thank you, Jesus, for the body of Jesus. We receive it today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, your word says that on the same night you took the cup and you said, "This is my cup of the new covenant." And today we receive it in remembrance of that sacrifice. We receive it in remembrance of the covenant between you, God, and Jesus Christ on the cross. The covenant that sets us free. The covenant that sets us free from sin, from the power of sin, and from the identity of sin. And we just declare that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can receive the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you to stand up on your feet now. You can take somebody's hand and we're going to share in the words of the grace. Amen. And may the grace of us and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Tomorrow, 5 p.m. we'll be here to continue with season 21. Day 10. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555. 281-555.